We're going to look at the word the Akedah, and what that means for us, the importance of that today. So quite often in our devotion to him, I will look at what God has done, and then in our response to him. And I'll switch between the two. Sometimes I'll look at our devotion to him and what that means. And sometimes I'll look at what God has done for us and his devotion to us and the response to that. So today is very much that kind of thing, God's devotion to us. And we're going to look at one of my favourite stories in the whole Bible. It's found in Genesis 22, and we're going to read it together. We'll stop at a few points just to look at that. The Akedah is the Hebrew name for the offering up of Isaac by the father. The offering up of Isaac by the father and the binding of Isaac. You know the story well, don't you? Many of you. So the Hebrew word, Akedah, is the offering up and the binding of Isaac. And we're going to look at the relevance of that today. I'm going to look at one of my favourite chapters in Genesis. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love." Let's say that together. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah." I'll read the rest. "Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded the donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for burnt offerings, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood, for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. Let's read this together. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Then Abraham answered, let's read this bit together, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Let's read that again. "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place, can you say the word "the place"? God had told him about. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." So the Akedah is the offering up, the binding of Isaac by his father Abraham. I've preached on this chapter a number of different times, but I'm learning new things as I study this chapter. The first time I preached this is the first time I went to Kenya. First time I went to Kenya was in the year 2000. And I'd had a prophetic message from one of my minister friends who prayed over me and said, "You're going to Israel." And I said, "You're joking. I'm not going to Israel. Africa. I'm not going to Africa. Why would I want to go to Africa?" And within 3 months, I was in Africa. I was in Kenya. And we traveled from Kenya into a place called Miamponi, which is right in the deep of Meru, in the central part of Kenya. And every morning, we would get up early and I would have to go from village to village. We'd travel 3 hours into the deep of Kenya on roads that were very much impassable, in fields that were full of snakes walking through different places, and we went from village to village. And I was asked at this one village to go up to this mountain. Derek Case was with me, and Clive Bevan, we were together. And we had to walk up this mountain. It was a very, very hot day. Had no water with me. And we're walking up this mountain through this wooded area. And I didn't know where we were going or why we were going. It was a bit strange. It was a bit surreal. And we get to the top of this mountain, and it's a place where they used to sacrifice people. It's a place where they used to take people and put them to death, and they would all climb the mountain, and there was this sacrificial thing where they would kill people. So I said, God, and they said, no, we want you to preach here. And I thought, great, what shall I preach on? Holy Spirit dropped in my heart about the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac, the story of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice. And as I got to there, that place, which was really strange, I felt God to say, today I'm going to do something amazing that will shock you. And so we played out the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac. And then I had an altar call for people to give their life to Jesus. And this whole village that had walked up gave, put their hand up and gave their life to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Later on, we had a three-day mission in a place called Cambuquia. And these people walked a whole day to come to this place. And many of them got healed. There were blind eyes that were opened. There were sick people. So that's the first time I preached this story abroad. Then when we were in Kenya, the first time Joshua came to Kenya with me. He was only a little lad. I don't know how old he was. How old were you, Josh? 14. Probably the same age as what Isaac would have been. We played that whole story, and I tried to sacrifice Joshua with a nice sharp knife, and the Lord said, hang on. No, he didn't. And in that time, people got saved and people got healed. And it was amazing, just the power of this story. And I did it here once, if you remember, when it was in the other room, where I got a knife and pretended to sacrifice Jesus. So this is an amazing story, but there's so much you can learn from this story. There's so much you can learn from this story. It's so powerful. So we're going to find some wonderful things. First of all, we find a place called the place. The place where God had told him. The place in Hebrew is called Hamakom. Can you say Hamakom? Hamakom. That's what it was known as, the place. The place where God had determined Abraham would take his son to. But then the name is changed, and it's changed by Abraham himself. It's not a name that God gives it, but it's a name that Abraham gives. And it's very strange because he gives the name of this place the name Jehovah Jireh. It's the only time you'll find it in the Old Testament. It's the one and only time you'll find it in the Old Testament. It uses the word Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is the place that Abraham sees God provide for his son. It's a very special place. It's called, so if we take Jehovah, the sacred name, if we can go back one. Can we go back one? That's the sacred name of Jehovah. The Jews don't say the word Jehovah, or they use this word Yahweh. And then we have Jireh, which is an interesting name. So if we can put the next one on. Jireh means to present, to make visible. So it should say visible, not viable. To make visible, to provide, or to reveal. And it's interesting that this here, in this story, we have this name of God given, which is quite bizarre because it's the name of a place. And God is omniscient and omnipresent. He's all-knowing. He's all omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. But Abraham gives him a name, which is a name that's only mentioned once, and it's never mentioned again in the Old Testament, I don't believe. But it almost limits God to a place, to a single place. And yet God, as we've said, is omnipresent. But also in this story, we have two other things. We'll look at the third thing in a minute. But the second thing is we have this whole prophetic message of something that's going to happen 1900 years later, where God starts to reveal something in this place. Jehovah Jireh in this place. He's going to present something. He's going to make something visible. He's going to provide. He's going to reveal in this place something very, very special. So what was revealed? What was made visible? The answer, of course, is what happened in this place. This is where the Akedah happened, the offering up of Isaac, the binding of Isaac by his father Abraham. And so Isaac asks the question of his father in verse 7. If you can put verse 7 up. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Yes, my son," Abraham replied, "the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" You see, this lad knew about sacrifices. Dad had taught him. There's a bond between father and son. This is the promised son. You remember that he waited so long. The son's called Laughter because when God told them they were going to have a child, they laughed. They were too old. It's impossible. Anybody believe anything's impossible for God today? There's this special bond between him and the son. The son has learnt about sacrifices. The son's probably going, "It's great, Dad. We're going to sacrifice to God, you and me. Just you and me, Dad. Isn't that special?" And the dad's spending 3 days on the journey thinking about what he's going to have to do to his son. And the son asks the father the question, Where's the sacrifice? We've got everything, Father. We've got the wood, we've got the fire, we've got the knife, but where is the lamb? And Abraham provides 1900 years before Jesus this prophetic message. Let's have a look at verse 8. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." Let's read that together. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Who's going to provide the sacrifice? God himself. The two words, God himself. Really important. God is sharing with Abraham, and Abraham is sharing with the people of Israel. And as we look back now, and we have the privilege of looking back over Scripture, God will provide himself, the lamb, in the place of sacrifice. So Jireh identifies the place where God will provide the lamb. He will present the lamb and reveal the lamb. So the lamb will be made visible in that specific place. 1900 years before Jesus. So let's move into Matthew, into 1900 years approximately. It's not exactly, but approximately. We come to Matthew chapter 21. We're not going to read that today, but it's the story of Palm Sunday. We all know the story of Palm Sunday, don't we? Yeah. So what happens on Palm Sunday? Jesus enters Jerusalem. And what happens when Jesus enters Jerusalem? Palm leaves, dancing, Hosanna. All kind of people are excited. And we're going to be doing that. Those are going to Israel on Sunday. So this time, next week, we'll be walking where Jesus walked down into Jerusalem and up into Jerusalem. And we'll be, I might go on a donkey and you can wave palm leaves. It might be good, isn't it? It's a good idea. Thanks, Josh. Isn't it your bedtime? And Palm Sunday in the Hebrew calendar has got a special name. It's called the Day of the Lamb. The Day of the Lamb. The Day of the Lamb. Isn't that an interesting thing? Do you think that's a coincidence that when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, it's called the Day of the Lamb? Or do you think it might be something that God, Jesus, is fulfilling? It's on the 10th of Nisan, and there are notes that you can find on Jesus, the Nisan Lamb. So what happens on that day is that the people, the males, the father of the house, would go to the marketplace with the children and leave perhaps the wife behind. They'd take the children and they would go to the marketplace and they would look for a lamb. And they would choose a lamb and they would purchase a lamb with money. And then they would be taking the lamb back home. And the purpose was that the lamb would live with the family for 4 or 5 days until Passover. And then the lamb would be put to death. And they would identify the lamb. The lamb would live with them, because what happens when they sacrifice the lamb, they would put the hands upon the lamb. So all their sins would be transferred to the lamb and the lamb would be put to death. And so on this particular day, while Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, people are so busy, they're on a mission. We've got to get the lamb. We've got to get the lamb and bring the lamb home. So while they're doing that, Jesus is led down and into Jerusalem and up to Jerusalem. And what God was doing, Jehovah Jireh, was providing his lamb, his sacrifice. He was making provision. He was making the lamb visible. Does that make sense? Now, the people of Israel didn't really understand what was happening at this time, but this is God now fulfilling this prophetic message 1900 years later, where while everyone's busy doing something, God is actually saying, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to fulfill the prophetic message right now in your sight in this place. So Jehovah Jireh, the place, Hamakom, is on Mount Moriah. And it was on Mount Moriah where the crucifixion of Jesus took place, the greatest ever, the most important event that's ever happened in history. The next most important event will be when Jesus returns for his church. That will be great. But the greatest thing in all of history happens here. So let's look at Luke 23:33, the crucifixion of Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And so Jesus, God's provision, God's lamb, is sacrificed once and for all in this particular place. Jesus was revealed as the lamb in the place where God will reveal the lamb. Does that make sense? See how important the name is here. The name is so important, it tells us exactly what God is going to do. He's revealing the lamb in the place where he said he would reveal the lamb. So the Akedah is the offering up of Isaac by binding of Isaac by his father. Genesis chapter 22, we know, was a test for Abraham. Sometimes God will test us. Do you know that? God will ask us to do something in our lives to see if we really are going to do what he asks us to do. Do you know that? Do you believe that? He will. If he hasn't done already, he will ask you to do things that perhaps we don't feel comfortable with. None of us feel comfortable with sacrificing our children. It wasn't an easy thing. Sometimes God asks us to do really tough things, really hard things. But for Abraham, it was a test. At the end of the test, God sealed a covenant with Abraham. But this isn't like any other covenant that's ever happened before. This is a very special covenant. And the way this covenant works is two people agree on a certain thing, and two people have to agree to be prepared to do exactly the same things. Does that make sense? So Alan and I could go in an agreement. Every morning we're going to get up and we're going to run and train for a marathon. And we're in agreement that we're both going to do it. So in this covenant, God enters a covenant with Abraham and says, we're going to do exactly the same thing. Whatever I ask you to do, I'm going to do myself. Does that make sense? This is why this covenant is so important. So both parties have to be willing to do what the other would do. So let's very briefly, before we look at the third amazing thing that I think is in this scripture, look at this special covenant between Abraham and God. Comparing the story of Abraham and Isaac and God and Jesus 1900 years later. So first of all, we know Abraham was willing to offer up the son. And he travelled 3 days with his son, and he brought his son on a donkey to the place, Jehovah Jireh, where the sacrifice was going to be made. God the Father led the Son on a donkey to the place where the sacrifice had to be made. You see the comparison here straight away. Jesus went willingly. Isaac went willingly. Abraham comes and he places the wood on Isaac's shoulders. And Isaac carries the wood upon his shoulder. God would place the sacrifice of wood, the cross, here, on Jesus' shoulder. The Son carried the wood, Isaac, up the mountain to the place of sacrifice. Jesus would carry the wood, the cross, to the place of sacrifice. The Father lays the Son, he binds the hands, he lays the Son on the wood. The Father lays the Son on the cross. Isaac willingly allowed the Father to bind his hands. Jesus willingly allowed sinful, evil men to bind his hands on the cross. When I look at this story and I just see how amazing Jesus is at this point. This is the Son of God who flung stars into space. The very power of pointing his fingers, universes were created. Just by pointing, angels, myriads of angels would do. The all-powerful Jesus allows sinful man, evil man, to bind him on the cross. And you know all these things. I know. I'm just reminding us today because it's helping us to focus on where we're going to go. Abraham the father lifts up the knife, maybe with tears. I just quite think about this story. Maybe with tears running down his face, knowing he's going to obey God. He loves God. He wants to do the very best for God. Tears running down his face. He's about to sacrifice the son. And just as he's about to, God says, stop, Abraham, don't do it. But as the Father looks down upon Jesus, judgment's coming. There's no alternative sacrifice. God isn't going to stop the whole process, the play that's happening at this point in time, the prophetic story that's about to happen. God doesn't suddenly say to the Romans, stop. I've got an alternative sacrifice for you. There's something different you can put to death in my son's place. No, Jesus has to die. And Jesus did die very painfully, very cruelly, as a sacrifice for you and I. There is no alternative. And it was so painful for the Father for many things that he had to turn his face away because of the sin that was placed upon his son, your sin and my sin. So much so, for the first time ever in history, the Father and the Son are no longer in relationship. The Father can't even look on the Son because of the sin. The Father has to deal with that and the pain, but he also has to deal with the pain of that. And I'm sure there were tears from God as his Son cries out, it is finished, and he dies on the cross. There is no alternative sacrifice. And 1900 years before, God had shared with Abraham exactly what he was going to go through with his own son, Jesus Christ. I just find that amazing. Even before people were born, God had this plan. So Jehovah Jireh provided the lamb. He presented the lamb. He revealed the lamb. The lamb was made visible in that specific place, Hamakom. But there's still something wonderful, something more in this chapter, Genesis chapter 22, which I think is amazing. We find it in verse 2. And let's read it in verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you what? Take your son, your only son, whom you love. This is the first time we find the word love in the Bible. And it's a specific love. It's a love between the Father and the Son. Now, I didn't have the privilege of having a great relationship with my dad. People probably looked at us as a family and thought that I did. I didn't. And some people in this room have not had a great relationship with Father, their own personal father. And sometimes people find it difficult to have a good relationship with a father. But you know, for me, the amazing thing was encountering Jesus as a young person and knowing his love as a father. And this is the love of a father and a son. This is the love, actually, that's more than the father and the son. This is the love of God the Father and Jesus the Son. See, God is love, and his love is far greater than ours. Jesus knew that love. So this word love is talking about the Father and the Son. It's talking about Abraham and Isaac. Yes, it is, but it's talking more. It's talking prophetically. It's giving people understanding. It's about God the Father's love to God the Son's love. We all know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Maybe of us that have been Christians for a long time, we say that quite easily now. We quote it to people. We tell people about Jesus and we quote it. But do we think about it ourselves? Do we concentrate on these words for ourselves and understand what this means? Because this is the part of the service now that I want us to focus on for ourselves in a response. This is what it means for us. It means that if God offered up the Son of his love to save us, he must love us exactly the same as he loves the Son. You see the relevance here. He loves us, God the Father loves everyone in this room as much as he loves the Son. Is that not amazing? Do you not believe that? Do you not think that's amazing when I started to understand this? That when God looks at us, he has the same love for us as he does for the Son. Sometimes we feel unloved. Sometimes in this world we have a time where we think nobody cares about us, nobody loves us, nobody even cares who we are. And there are people in this room that I've had conversations with. I want to tell you that this verse shows us in Genesis 22 that God loves us as much as he loves his own Son, God the Father. And the Father has done everything he can. He can do no more so that you and I may experience that love. He's totally devoted to us today by giving us his Son. I sometimes think about that story. And I think about, you know, if God, you asked me to lay down my life for this church, would I do it? Would I die for the congregation? Would I die for you? I'd like to think I would. I think in my head, if it came to it, I would die for you. Would I allow my Son to die for you is another matter. I don't know. I can't answer that question, whether I could do it. But God's already answered the question. He's done it. You and I. It's an amazing story. It's not in the notes. I just this morning now, as I'm standing here, I'm reminded of a story of a man that used to work on the trains. And I'll try and get this story right. Forgive me if I don't get 100% right, but this is the story. And it reminds me of God the Father and God the Son. And so there's this father that every day he goes and he pulls the levers to move train from track to track. And when a train comes, he moves the levers, and then in this one particular part of the track, there's a bridge that has to be pulled down. And every day, when the train comes, he puts the lever and the train track comes down, the train goes safely, and people go past and wave at him, and they've got to know him so well, and they're waving at him, and thank you for doing that, you know, really excited that we got to the other side without any problems. And one day he takes his son to work. This is not something he normally does. The son asks him to can I come to work with you, Daddy? And Daddy says, okay. Daddy's doing the job, and the little boy's sitting in the control room with him with all the levers, and it's so exciting. And then what happens is the train's coming, and the father goes, right, I need to put the bridge down. And he notices that his son is not with him, and he's calling his son, and There's no response. And then out of the corner of his eye, he sees the son under the bridge. Now he's got a dilemma. The train's come in with hundreds of people on, people he's seen every day. He's waved. And the son is by the bridge. He's shouting the son can't hear him. He's got a dilemma. If he doesn't put the bridge down, everyone on the train's going to die. If he puts the bridge down, his son's going to be killed. What does he do? He has to think about this story. He has to think about what he's going to do. And the train's blowing its horn. It knows it's got to put the bridge down. There's no more time. He pushes the lever. The bridge comes down. It kills his son. Tears in his eyes. The train goes past. And all the people that normally waved to him are waving and thanking him. And they've got no idea the sacrifice he's just made. For people he doesn't really know, then just wave every day. Wow, that's a sacrifice. And the people didn't even know. There are people out there, and it may be today you've never heard this, that God has done a similar thing for you. You may not even understand it or fully understand it, but he loves you so much that you may know him, that he sacrificed his son for you and for me. Jesus willingly died on that cross, just as Isaac willingly lay on the sacrifice. Because Isaac had been taught by his father that he had to obey God regardless. So Isaac says, okay, I'll do it. Jesus willingly gave his life for you and for me on that cross. No one took his life. Jesus willingly gave that for you. The Father has shown his unconditional love for you. And Jesus has shown his unconditional love for you. You never need to ask the question, does God love me? Yes, he does. And he's shown it to you. And you're loved as much as he loves his own son. Isn't that good news for us, church? You see, we've got to start living this and not believing that no one cares about us. And poor old me. And sometimes we go around in circles feeling bad about ourselves. And we need to understand what God has done for us to lift us up out of that place. And if you're going around in a circle where you feel really bad about yourself, God wants to meet you today and for you to understand this. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. The worship team are going to join when I ask you to stand. And they're going to sing a song to you. I don't want you to join in the song. I want you to listen to the words. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to allow God to speak to you, and I want you to speak to God. But I'm going to say one other thing. You can come up now, it's great. I want to say one other thing before we do that, in preparation for that. And if you don't know Jesus today, you're going to have the opportunity in a minute to give your life to Jesus, to invite him to come and live in your heart and to change your life to forever. I'm going to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Saviour that died for you on the cross. If you want to do that, that'll be your choice in a minute to do that. Abraham was asked two really difficult things in life. The first thing he was asked, God said to him, Abraham, I want you to leave where you live. The place you're comfortable with, the place of your inheritance, the place, your father's home. Maybe his father was still alive then and there was a relationship between him and his father. And God says, first of all, Abraham, I want you to leave where you are. I want you to leave your inheritance. I want you to leave everything you've got. I want you to come to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you to. He had to obey God. He had to leave everything. He had to leave his inheritance. He had to leave absolutely everything to follow God. And he obeyed God. The second thing God asked him to do, which was probably the hardest thing in his whole life, was to sacrifice his son. So God was saying in the first instance, do you love me more than your father? And Abraham says, yeah, I do. And he left the land. And then God challenged him and said, do you love me more than your son, your promised son, the son of laughter, the one you waited 100 years for? Do you love me more than him? And Abraham says through his actions, yes, God, I love you more than my father, and I love you more than my son. Today, God is looking for people that love him. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. That love him. He's our first love. We love him above our family. We love him above our friends. We love him above everything else. Because this is what Jesus has shown, how much he loves us. And this is what the Father has shown to us, that he loves us in this way. One of the things I believe God is talking to us as a church is, do you love me more than others? Do you put other people before me? Because if you put somebody before me, it's an idol. And if it's an idol, you're worshipping the wrong person. So right now, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you're going to have the opportunity to do it in 2 minutes or less. I want you to think about what I've just said. Because in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand as the worship team just minister to you. And I want you to talk to the Lord. And he's going to ask you this question now, because it's on my heart to ask you. How much do you love me? Do you love me more than others? Are you willing to obey me regardless of the cost of other things today? Are you willing? So first of all, if you're not a Christian, with every eye closed now, if everyone could just close their eyes. Last week we had a few people respond to this, and that was good. Is there anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal saviour that wants to do that? If you want to, would you just put your hand up so I can see in this room? I want you to have the opportunity to do that. This is your opportunity now. Don't be embarrassed by anybody else. No one else is watching. It's your choice. I believe there's at least one person in this room that wants to do that. Okay. Church then. If you're ready and willing to respond now as the worship team are coming to play, I want you to stand with your arms outstretched if you can. If you can stand, if you can't stand, that's fine. And just speak to the Lord and see what God says to you now. Thank you.